The night shift across Australia on the Triple M radio network. Now, Sarah Blake is a conflict strategist and mediator who's going to talk to us about the political trend towards the independents, like the Greens and the Teal representatives, on the key issues like environment, integrity, diversity, and from communities who want to be heard. So she joins us now. Sarah Blake is on the line. Hi there, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you for getting up so early this morning and talking to us on the night shift.
My absolute pleasure.
Now, are we reimagining the way we lead here in Australia? Do you think it's sort of pointing towards that, this shift?
Yeah, look, I think it is. Over the last 18 months, I've been watching lots of leadership positions in organisations, in mining companies. A lot of areas are really choosing different types of leadership. And I think this election is a culmination of that. I think people are really saying that this divisive politics is enough. We don't want this anymore. And the results with the Greens and the Teals particularly, I think, demonstrate that.
And divisive politics, is that sort of, you know, just the act of criticising the other side and talking in clichés and not really saying much? Is that what we're getting tired of?
I think so. I think that people, I know in local politics, for instance, people are just disengaged. They don't care anymore because they have felt like politicians didn't listen to them. All they're doing is spin doctoring, right? Talk the talk, but there's no action. There's no real change. And people want to see something happen.
Now, I'm happy to sort of be convinced on this because a few people have sort of pointed me in another direction. But I was concerned, Sarah, about the minority parties, and maybe that's the way I was sort of programmed as a student at school at Year 12. We talk about the two-party system, the two major parties, and they need to get a block of people so they vote together, and you can run a country that way. Otherwise, you're forever sort of horse trading. So, from a political point of view. And really, in your role as somebody who helps people communicate and negotiate, isn't it harder to get things done when you have a committee and you need to go to the independents and sort of talk to everybody before you push the laws through?
Yeah, certainly when you have an absolute mandate, when you've got total control, you can do whatever you want to do. And so it does take more time to negotiate when there's multiple parties that you have to navigate through. But I think the great thing about what we're seeing is that there is a lot of similarity around some of those issues. So I don't think it's such a stretch outside of people's experience, those that have been elected. So there's a lot of commonality around that, which I think is a great starting point. I do think that they will have to probably invest more time in working with those other parties that they wouldn't necessarily had to have done before. But on the flip side of that, perhaps we're going to get better results because of that, because I think the public do want change. They do want action, particularly in those key areas of environment and integrity and women's issues. So, you know, I'm really hopeful that what it does, it allows a different type of politician to emerge, ones who can really listen and can negotiate well rather than being very fixed or positional.
Yes, and it sends a message to the major parties that they need to work harder, and that's a good thing. Now you mentioned those platforms that the independents campaigned on: integrity, climate change, women issues. One of the criticisms was Sarah that they've got a few thoughts on very important things, but not a broader policy about finance and those sorts of things. So is that a concern as well, that they may be focusing on a few items and not the full span of things that we should be looking at?
Look, I think it could be a concern. On the flip side, the people that have been elected are professionals, right? So they aren't just people who've come up through community, perhaps without those professional skills. So I think in their ordinary lives before this, they probably understood lots about money and business and lots about how we make these environmental concerns real. So I think that there's a good starting point. I would certainly suggest to the Labor politicians that one of the things they need to do is trying to understand the values of those Greens and the Teal representatives, because it's the values that drive decision making sometimes. And if you can work out what they were and are, you've got a better chance of getting an agreement.
So that's a bit deeper too. When you talk about, you know, the political parties dealing with the Greens or the independents, they need to look at the values. So in our everyday life, in business, and when you're dealing with people, is that a way to negotiate in a better way, looking at their values? Is that about looking a bit deeper as to what motivates them?
Yes, absolutely it is. So looking at value is also what people's needs are. So we get very fixed on what we think we need, but if we peel it back around, what do we actually need? What is a good decision I can live with? Those sort of things really help us get clarity, I guess you could say, in where we need to make decision and what matters to us.
So in business or in life, how do you sort of identify that quickly, because you know, if you're meeting with somebody, I guess you just take time, and you need to listen to what they're saying for starters.
Mm. I think preparation is always key. So the clearer you are and what matters to you, you're better able to communicate that to the other person and ask curious questions. So if you can ask good questions, it's going to help them get the information on the table quicker.
Nothing worse than a person or a salesperson who's made assumptions. That's right. They're not listening. They're not asking questions. And you're sort of thinking, no, you're not really getting what I want. So is that the thing where people go in and they've already made up their mind what they're going to say?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's true of how people have felt about our politicians lately, right? You're not really listening to us. You don't get us. You don't get the cost of living and how that's impacting us. So they want our politicians to be curious and connect with us.
A bit of chatter this morning on our phone lines about, even though it's overseas, but I think it's a bit of a window as to how these leaders think. Boris Johnson and Partygate, there's been some more photos. You know, he initially said there wasn't a party, and there's more photos now where he's doing a toast, and there's the table.
He's had a great time.
Yeah. There's gin and there's spirits and there's chips and all sorts of stuff there. So what does it say about the mindset of our leaders? I mean, they're making the laws. Yeah. They're sitting there making the laws, and they must be thinking to themselves, well, it's for everybody else. It's not for us. We're going to have a party anyway. I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
It is. I think it's that inconsistency that really gets to people, right? They start to think, well, actually, do you care about us, or is it all just about what you want to do and us doing what you want us to do? And I think that's in part why people are saying enough.
And why does it happen, though? I know, is it sort of like, would it happen to you or me, say, for example, Sarah? You know, they say, oh, well, power corrupts or we get there. I just don't know why. Does something weird happen when you're in that position where you're blindsided by what the right thing to do is?
I think it can, and I've seen it often in conflict situations, is that people surround themselves often with like-minded people, and there's this lovely mediator term called normalization of deviation, which means you kind of, everything becomes normal. So this bad behavior, the not being consistent, it's just become normal now, and so they don't see anything wrong with that. And so it's a very easy slide to fall into, and suddenly you're doing things in a way that others would say is not okay.
Mm. And I reckon that happens a lot in different work settings and corporate settings.
Yep.
You're in the bubble, as they say, and
they
normalise certain behaviour. So what do you do when you see that? You wake up from the dream or the bubble and you think, hang on, this is not right. What am I doing here? All these idiots. So you can't challenge them, can you, Sarah?
I think you have to. I think it's, let me just say, you can challenge those around you if it's safe to do so. And it's not always safe to challenge. And so there's this fine line around, I want to create change. I want to say that this is not okay, but I need to make sure it's safe for me to do so. And if it is safe for you to do it, then speak up. But don't get emotional, because if we get all, you know, start shouting and all those sort of things, people stop listening. So you've got to be quiet, calm, focused, pull it back to, hey, this is not okay behaviour. Mm. And that's how we start to get people listening to us.
I like it. Really good advice there. Thank you, Sarah. So I guess full circle in a way, it's a good thing from your point of view, and that we've got these independents there. The politicians need to work a bit harder and not take us for granted, and maybe we're heading towards a new way.
I hope so. I'm full of a bit of optimism and hope. I think it's not going to be an easy task, and I'm really curious to see how it lands.
So, you're 100% right. And we're getting into a difficult time for the Labor Party, you know, with the inflation, cost of living, all the stuff that's going on. We're going to pay for, all the money that was sort of dished out during the pandemic. So that's the backdrop of the next 3 years for our new government.
This is a tricky thing about hope. So there's this kind of feeling of hope, I think, out there. But if you've created hope, you have a really big responsibility to fulfill those expectations. And that means taking action.
And do you think us, the public, we're going to get impatient real quick?
I suspect so.
We could talk about
I
all
think
the...
yes.
Yeah, that's right. And once you're paying, more for petrol and double for some items, you're going to say, oh, hang on, this is a bit of pain. Does the average person not able to put up with an uncomfortable situation? I find that sometimes we all say, let's do it, let's go. 3 days in, they say, we're out.
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I think it's partly we've got used to the search for perfection, social media, TV shows, making everything perfect. And actually, I hate to burst people's bubbles, but life is messy. And the more comfortable we get with the messiness, I think the better we can navigate through these complex times.
There's an author, Robert Greene, that I sort of tap into. He's written all sorts of books. He talks about a war strategy. I know I sound like some sort of weirdo, but he talks about, taking that as an example, but he talks about the fog of war that, you've got a plan, but when you get into the conflict or, the situation, of course, things don't go the way you want them, and that's the fog of war. So you need to be fluid in a way. So is that part of what you're saying?
Absolutely that. Yeah, absolutely. We can have plans, aspirations, dreams we're working towards, but life happens around us, and sometimes it isn't pretty, and sometimes it's just hard work. But it's that resilience, that capacity to just keep going and say, how do we problem solve rather than blame?
Love it. Thank you, Sarah. You're a conflict strategist and mediator. Can we find you online? Do you have a website?
Absolutely. Your website, smblake.com, all the usual social media tags. Check me out. And thank you for listening to me.
No worries. My pleasure. Thank you for joining me. It's my last morning filling in for Luke Boner, but I'm sure I'll pass on your name and number to him. We want to get you back on the show.
Look forward to it. Take care.
Sarah Blake, a conflict strategist and mediator on Triple M.